Let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Heavenly Father, we are here, and you are here. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that you are so faithful to meet us at a moment's notice. All we have to say is, Lord, and we don't even have to finish the Word, and you're there. You're like, yes, my son, yes, my daughter. You know, you're never, never unreachable. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that. And Father, as we get ready to face the week ahead and its challenges and its promises, Lord, every step we take, we desire for you to be a part of it. Now, Lord, sometimes we're absent-minded about it. We forget that you're with us. And, Lord, we're missing out. We're missing out. Refresh us. Bless this time in your word, and we thank you for it. In your name, amen. Well, you know, I was thinking nowadays it's funny how everybody, their focus is on so many things. Their focus, you know, the news is focused in on the virus and the politics, and, you know, we're all focused on when the restaurant's going to open so we can go eat. I mean, how dare they make me wait? I need to eat out, you know. I can't exercise at home and take a walk. I got to get to that gym. And we see a lot of people what they're focused on. I'm not saying, you know, I wouldn't like to, you know, go sit out at a nice restaurant, enjoy. But isn't it interesting on how in the world system they get us focused on everything? Everybody's trying to focus on how it is the virus coming back and how bad is it going to be. And I'm not saying that those aren't issues, but in these issues, nobody's looking to the Lord. You know, and I think one of the things that we are called to do as children of God is we need to show people that our focus is on the Lord, not on circumstances. You know, there are a lot of circumstances. You know, let's look at that election. Let's look at this. But you know, what's different from today than any other day? Really nothing. You know, we get up and we're going to go through the day, go to bed, hopefully, and get some sleep and start over again. But it's about, are we going to praise the Lord, walk with him, realize that he's with us in every action and every news flash or everything that we should be concerned about is true. But do we see the Lord in the midst of this virus? Do we see the Lord in the midst of the election? Do we see the Lord in the midst of, you know, everything opening and closing, and how is church going to work? I mean, you know, that's too difficult. I can't see how it's going to work with this. And yeah, there are some inconveniences. But, you know, it's interesting because when we focus on the Lord, you know, it takes all the fear, all the panic, all the worry. It brings in a peace. And isn't it interesting because in this time, nobody can give a great answer. You know, that's one of the things that's driving everybody crazy. There is no answer. Give me an actual date that this virus is going to be over. I need to plan. In fact, it was funny. I was talking with someone and they're very frustrated. This husband and wife is frustrated because the husband's like, we got to go on vacation. We've got to go. We go all the time. Got to go, you know, you can't. Well, there's got to be someplace. It's like, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to travel? I don't know. We got to do something. You know, I worked hard. You know, this is our vacation time. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, just focus on the Lord. Even that stress right there. I mean, you can stress all you want. When I think of Elijah, didn't have a great supply, but he had a great source. Okay? He had the source of God. You know, when I think of the disciples, they didn't have a great supply of food. In fact, they were like, they only got two fish and, you know, a couple of loaves of bread, but they had a source. the Lord. They went to the Lord, and the Lord called out, and there was all the fish, there was all the bread. So you and I, we have all kinds of circumstances. Are we calling out to God? Are we calling out? Because we may not have an answer. In fact, I look, and you know, sometimes you get so frustrated. It's like, the news, nobody has an answer. Nobody has an answer. Nobody has a, you know, one says try this, one says that, this medicine. But call out on the Lord, and He has an answer. He is the source of my nervousness and my needs. So it was interesting. I then said, Lord, okay, I got to remember You are the source. I don't have to look if there's enough toilet paper. I don't have to check if there's enough, you know, of anything around. You're my source. And so then I turned around and I had a meeting with some people from the prison and some other chaplains. And one was saying he was tired because he'd been serving the Lord and he never experienced anything of the gifts. And he was like, Lord, it's about time. I can't wait any longer. And he felt incomplete because he didn't have gifts. And I've known the man for a while, and I'm like, you've got a viable, you know, ministry. You know, you've got a gift. You got a calling. And so when we turned around, you know, I was thinking, so let me read a couple verses for you. I'm going to read Psalm 116, and I'll tie this all up, but let's get some verses to go with this. Psalm 116, okay, in verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of His people. You know, when I looked there, I was like, we go over the gifts very quickly. You know, it seems like everybody's looking at those gifts. And it's interesting because I find times that, you know, I've had men come into the chapel and they want to know when they're going to get their gifts and how do they get a certain gift. And it's like, when'd you get saved? Last week, you know, but they heard it talked about, you know, just wait till you get this or that. Wait till you get the, you know, gift of prophecy, the gift of preaching. You should try it. It's like, how about trying listening, submitting, obeying, believing, you know? It's interesting because then sometimes other Christians don't feel that they're as valuable because they don't have the gift. And okay, we say, well, you know, we're not Pentecostal. We're not into, you know, the emphasis of these gifts, but people go, I don't have the gift of preaching. And I remember when I came into this ministry, and it wasn't the teaching of the ministry, but there was this person who went around the church and every single male, she constantly would say they got the gift of preaching. She even said that to men that weren't even saved. They came in, someone brought them, and it's like, oh, I can tell you're going to have the gift of preaching. God's, you know, and the guy's just going like, he's just, you know, you can see the panic in his face going, I got to run. I mean, I'm not even sure that I buy into all this God stuff. Now they're going to make me this preacher? Little does she know, I'm not sure I even believe. And it's interesting because, you know, I think of like gifts. And, you know, there's a story that I've heard 1,000 times and it's burnt into my head. I can't say that I remember it all as well as my mother did. But I remember her telling the story to everybody and anybody, and I heard it 1,000 times, was this one Christmas. When I was little, I told her I was disappointed because I never get what I want. I never get anything that I want. And so she had me write out a list. And, You know, we were very, you know, we didn't even make it paycheck to paycheck sometimes, and it was difficult. So this year, my mother did ironing for some of the neighbors and you know, did some house cleaning while we were at school. And she was determined to buy some things, make sure we had not just socks and underwear, but, you know, under the tree. You know, we weren't, you know, we always had something, but as children, you know, we don't have an understanding. And I opened up all these presents, and being, you know, 5 years old, you know, I got tired. And she had me lay down, and I don't remember this, but she said that I cried, that I didn't get anything I wanted. Not one thing. And my mother said, but there's things under the tree. And didn't you? Oh yeah, I got all these great toys, but not one of them is what I asked for. Not one thing that I wanted. And I fell asleep and she cried and cried and cried. And she always tell me that. I'm like, here's a good guilt story, Ma. Thank you. But you know, and the funny thing is that she goes, the next day I never mentioned a thing. I was overwhelmed. I was thrilled. I played with the toys and I, you know, I couldn't be more happier. But in my moment of weakness, and isn't it interesting the way it is with gifts? There's always pressure with the gifts. And I think even in the church, there are a lot of times, you know, I remember being, and this was way back in this, you know, in the 70s, when that lady came up to me and told me I had the gift of preaching. And, you know, that, it bothered me. I mean, I was saved, but I was such a babe, and I'm like, I'm looking at some of these great men in the Bible, you know, I'm hearing Dr. Stevens preach, I'm hearing, you know, Pastor Reland preach, and Pastor Graves preach, and these people from, you know, the Bible college, and I'm like, you know, I don't know how to find Psalms in the Bible, I you know, I'm not sure this is, oh man, the pressure that came. And the focus was, well, I better start to try to study quick. Cause in my eyes, I was going to start preaching next week or something. In fact, it actually did affect me. Because before I got saved, and Satan knowing all things, well, God knows all things, but he knew some things. And in high school, Ruth had started a Bible study. She got permission from the vice principal that we would meet before he arranged for a room to be open, and before school even began, we could get in there and have a Bible study and pray before the day began. And she convinced me to go. And I went, and I loved it, but I wasn't saved. And then I got saved, and right after, you know, the next morning I went in and I'd like to share something from the Bible. And I shared the verses that I read the day before about getting saved. And then I started to try to preach every morning. Oh, the messages were so screwed up. I mean, I didn't know anything. I remember, you know, I invited guests, you know, I didn't know, but I said, we should know all the different flavors. And I got a rabbi to come in to teach us about Jesus. That didn't go over well. I couldn't make sense of the Jehovah Witness, but that I had come in, you know, and it was crazy. But focusing in on gifts, everybody says you have to have the gifts. And, you know, so a lot of us don't feel we're as good a Christian because we can't preach like Dr. Stevens or, you know, Pastor Morrison, etc. So I was thinking, you know, as it says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And that has been on my mind for weeks now. Because, you know, when I heard my friend, and he's like, oh, you know, I it's so exciting. After all these years, I finally got the gift. And, you know, and he's talking to me and he said, I'm Baptist and Pentecostal. And, oh, it's wonderful. I can have the fullness of everything. And, you know, and I'm just, this isn't who he is. You know, I mean, God made you who you are. You have your relationship. You weren't missing anything. Walk in the gift that God had given you. You were a great man of God, leading men in prison, in the truth, bringing them salvation. You weren't lacking. And I was thinking, God does gifts. But sometimes I feel like, you know, I was reminded of that story about me not being satisfied that day. I didn't get anything I wanted. You know, I didn't get a lot of presents. We're like that even as adults. Are we ever content with what we have? Are we content with our relationship with God? I mean, I see people always wanting, you know, I've heard people always wanting a bigger church. Never satisfied with the church that they've got. They want a bigger, better church. Bigger, better building. You know, and there's nothing wrong with growth. There's nothing wrong with having that, but I'm talking about the contentment. But I'm thinking also is, you know, are we holding on and valuing? I mean, when I was told I was going to be a preacher and I was only saved a couple of months and only been to a couple of services, I needed to enjoy my salvation. I needed to realize that that was a gift. And you know, that was the best, biggest gift I could ever get. What could top salvation? Why do people get so, you know, I wish I had the gift of singing. I wish I had the gift of preaching. I wish I had the gift of, you know, healing and this and that. There, you know, I've had people force themselves to have a gift. I remember this man. And he claimed he had the gift of healing when I went into this prison. I can heal anybody. I can do that because God's given me the gift. You know, and someone prayed for, you bring that baby here to me and I'll just touch that baby and he'll be healed and all this and that. And then he turned around and he said, ask your church. I healed many people in the church. And I asked some guys and said, oh, he's crazy, Pastor. And he drives us crazy. He won't stop hounding us. So I let him pray and I say, oh yeah, my ankle's healed. And I, you know, try not to limp away and put ice on it because I sprained it playing basketball. You know, it's just better not to have him constantly hounding me. And I'm like, well, this is good. Then I found out there was several guys in the church that to get him off their back, they said that, yep, you healed me. It, you know, I still need to see the dentist. The tooth is killing me. But, you know, if you don't say it out loud, he couldn't pick it up. And he's like, see, I'm the healer. And his whole focus, I pulled him into my office many times and tried to talk to him about his obsession with healing. I said, what about loving and forgiving and you know, winning souls? Oh, healing's the best. Just think how I can heal. I'm such a good servant. You know, I'm like, you're not happy about salvation. You want to heal someone, but you don't want them to get saved? Well, you know, after I heal them, of course they'll get saved. I'm like, the best healing would be being saved. So it gets you thinking sometimes, even in ourselves, being a Christian for a long time, are we gotten dealt on our expression of being saved? You know, sometimes I think about it when I'm meeting people, am I still having that passion to express that I got saved? You know, remember like when you first got saved and when you talk to someone, I mean, that passion was there. And nowadays people just go, well, you know, you get saved and we so busy trying to get into the doctrine that, you know, it's like, it almost is like, yeah, I want that gift, I guess. I'll take salvation. You know, when someone talks about it, I mean, you ever see the kid who, or even the adult who turns around and is like, I got this, oh, you should see, you know, my new phone can do this, can do that, can do this. you know, so-and-so bought me my phone, you know, my father, my husband, my wife, you know, and it's what I'm, the tablet, the TV, it's this big, and kids will tell you what their toys can do, and you see that passion. And I was thinking all the gifts that we get dull on. I mean, the gift of God's love. I mean, how can we look at Galatians 2:20? How can we look at, you know, 1 John 1:30? Behold what manner of love the Father has given to me, that we should be called the sons of God. There should be enough excitement right there to get us through COVID-19. You know, I mean, the fact that whether we would, you know, and believe me, I've been told so many times by the medical profession, you know, I could be a great, I'd be an easy candidate to catch it because of my immune system with some of the diseases and stuff, and it would be very hard for me to overcome it. And I don't want to live in fear, and I'm not. I like Tony's Mass that said, you know, faith over fear. I believe in that. But my focus can't be on the virus. It has to be on my salvation. God loves me. About his word. I mean, I get the Holy Spirit. Some people were saying, gee, I'm going stir crazy. I got to get out. And believe me, I get that. I'm used to being out of the house every day. I'm used to going out and not having to worry about making sure I have a mask and you know, make sure that every time I get in the car, I should, you know, sanitize the steering wheel and the door, you know, and I get that. But man, I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the Holy Spirit. And when I think of it, I've got this security. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And you know, the virus isn't going to snatch me out of God's hands. It's going to just complete the work and get me there maybe a little quicker. And you know, like God knows about this virus. God knows about the elections. God knows that there are people that are dying. And it's funny, I remember this other conversation. Someone handed me the phone. They said, someone wants to say hi to you. And I said, hi. And he says, hi, Pastor, and all this. And he's a Christian, but very cardinal at the moment. And he said, you know, what do you think? This reminds me of the end times. You know, this virus thing and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I can see what you're saying. But in the same breath, he's not going to church, not fellowshipping. And it's like, if you really are fearful of the end times, I said, so what are you going to do with that thought? Oh, man, I'm going to have to look that up a little bit. And as he said that, you know, he talked about all the other things he had to do. And I waited, and it doesn't seem like he's done anything and hasn't called up again, you know. And it's like, we have to see the focus. One minute, he's being challenged to think that this could be the end times, and yet I'm going to continue to walk in darkness. Odd. But, you know, I understand that unworthy men didn't need, you know, to argue with Satan. But they needed to get saved, to have Christ work that miracle in their lives. And, you know, how quickly we sometimes forget the miracle. It's a miracle that, look around the room, it's a miracle that we're saved. I mean, the gift. Now look at yourself. It's a miracle that you got saved. What a precious gift. And, you know, when I think of the times that, you know, I had a hard time believing God for close to just, I always say a year, but truthfully, it was just about 11 and a half weeks, you know, I mean, 11 months, 11 and a half months, where I went to church, listened to the word of God, faithfully, but didn't get saved. And, you know, when I think about it, I just didn't think I was worthy to receive such a gift. And finally it got through my head that I'm never going to be worthy, but it was such a great gift. that gift that he loved me in spite of myself, that the gift of God's love, the gift of his word, the gift of salvation, the gift of faith. I mean, so often I'm so tired of people trying to think that they can muster up enough faith. And it's like, really? There's a lot of your pride that you can muster up. But really, is that faith? You're not trusting. You're trusting in yourself. Your faith is in you. You know, when I look at some of these great men of the Bible, I don't think that Moses did anything to come up with such a amount of faith that he could handle, you know, those plagues. I mean, how much could you look into the well, not a mirror. He would look into the pond and see his reflection and says, "Ah, oh, you can do it. You can part the Red Sea. Say it again. Say it again." And write it and have little flashcards on little rocks and parchment and saying, "You can do all things. You can do all things through God who strengthens me. Oh, I can do it. Ah, blood. Blood. Blood? Oh, please turn to blood." You know, he didn't do that. You know, there's the gift of faith. When I think of how messed up I was, and yet I had, God gave me that measure of faith that I could receive his love, his salvation. And then when I pick up that word, what a gift. I mean, you know, with my learning disabilities and stuff, and I picked up that Bible and, you know, I remember couldn't get a bit out of, King James. And, you know, I wanted to give up at that point. And God, you know, brought, the New Living Translation. I thought that was a miracle and I kept studying and now I love King James and I can't, you know, get past, you know, I love all the translations, you know, but I mean, it's like, it's God. What a gift. What a gift the Word of God is. You know, and that's why, you know, I think we have to just realize that people are experiencing their gifts. I mean, gifts to men, you know, God will give gifts to men. But not, you know, what are we going to do with the church? If we, let's say we have 150 people here on Sunday morning. If they're all preachers and they're going to preach that Sunday morning, you know, whether they could preach one word and let the next one and let the next one. I mean, you know, and then there are times people don't understand what they're asking for in that, those gifts. It's nice to be able to say, I spoke to a group of 1,000. But really, what is the true gift that God in his grace has bestowed upon you and he spoke and used you? There are a lot of churches that have 1,000 or 5,000 and it's really not anointed by God. You know, there are a lot of Christians that are looking for the gift and the healing. And the only reason why they're at that church or that convention hall is not to worship, not to learn, not to, you know, it's just that I maybe I'll get a healing. I've tried everything else. This is the place. This guy's got the gift. Forget God. This guy's got the gift that can channel. Oh yeah, no, he channels it from God. But without him, you know, I don't know if I'd make it. So when we think of these things, we have to really look at it. You know, when I think of these gifts, they should be enough to, I should be happy enough. I have the gift of Jesus Christ. I have the gift of faith. I have the gift of being eternally secure. I have the gift of salvation. I have the gift of the Word. I have the gift of God's love. I get the gift of the Holy Spirit, righteousness. I got the gift. Could God give me more gifts? Yeah. But why do I have to have something so big and extravagant? What can be more extravagant than the gift of salvation? Forgiveness by Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being called by God, being used for his purpose and his glory. You know, it's interesting. When I think of the repentant son and the prodigal, you know, the father wasn't looking for any great speech, any great promises. He just wanted the son. You know, he didn't want to make him earn his way back in. He didn't want to hear anything but just to love his son. Welcome him back. You know, the father loves and looks at rebounding. You know, what has God asked of you? Love mercy? Yeah, I love mercy. I love the gifts that God gave me. I love the gifts, and so often we're like, yeah, but I need the gift of, you know, speaking in tongues. I need the gift of healing and prophecy and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm, you know, that's fine. But then, you know, I need that. It's like, what about the gift of a wonderful spouse? The gift of family, a gift of your church, gift of children, the gift of your job, the gift of a loving pet that, you know, jumps and can't wait to see you when you get home, even though you've sinned like crazy probably that day. You know, what about the gift of the breath that we have? What about that gift? What about that? You know, what about the gift of being able to sit down and have that meal? When there are so many people that don't have, you know, when you pay that bill, the gift that you have the provision for, the gift of your health. You know, I was thinking of my friend who's so excited about some of the gifts. And I'm like, you know, my friend, you have so many gifts. Why suddenly after 20, 30 years, you're obsessed with these other gifts? There's power. And he said, it's not power in the gifts. It's power in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be obsessed with Jesus Christ. He said, now, if God gives you the gift of prayer, if he gives you the gift, but what about the gift of edification? What about the gift of hospitality? What about all those other little... You know, why is it that it's got to be something that everybody sees? You know, why is it that, you know, it has to be now something new happened in your prison? You know, you finally come around and you've got the, you know, gift of tongues or something. I'm not against it. I just am interested in your priority list. I said, I don't want to ask for another thing. I'm content with my salvation. I'm content with the gift of God's love. When I think of some of the people in the scripture that missed out on a lot of things, or, you know, their lives were short. When I think of some of the people that were martyred throughout the centuries, and they were young and they could have had much more, and it's like, you don't get it. They got gifts, great rewards when they got to heaven. They got there to be in the arms of the Lord, and he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You never denied me. And there's, you know, special rewards given to that. Oh, I'm not signing up to be martyred, but I just have to know that my father is faithful. You know, so... I guess that's just in the times that we're in, I wanted to focus, and I want my focus to be on the Lord. Focus on what I have and who he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you so much that you would love us beyond our sin. You love us in spite of our sin. You love us with an unconditional love. And you love us so much that you shower us with gifts. We don't have to earn our salvation. It is a gift of grace. You know, when we read that precious scripture that you gave us, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, when we read, you know, Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, when I think of the precious promises, Lord, they're so numerous. So numerous. Let me be content in the gift that you have given me. Let me operate in the gifts that I have before you add any more. A lot of times we're not using what we've got. Lord, thank you for never taking away your gifts. You don't take that Holy Spirit away from me. You don't take my salvation. You don't take my your love away from me. You just keep giving me gifts. The gift of your forgiveness keeps giving your blood, your promises. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you. In your precious and holy name, amen and amen.